We're reading this afternoon from the Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A British man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed for ever. But thou, Lord, art most high for evermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. We know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. The Masoretes were a group of scribes who preserved the Hebrew scriptures. In the 400 years that elapsed between the Old and the New Testaments, it is said that the Masoretes had a psalm for every day of the week. And this was their song for the Sabbath day. And it is a song of praise. It is a song of worship. It is a song of thanksgiving. They were coming to the temple to worship God on the Sabbath day, and this was their song. This is not just a song for one particular day of the week. It should be a song for every day of the week. And yet it has special relevance for those who come to worship God on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week, because it talks about the attitude of soul and spirit that we should have. You might say, is it necessary to worship God publicly with other people in a church? Can I not just worship God at home? Of course, there are some who have no option. Because of infirmity, they can't get out to church. And that is totally understandable, and God understands that. But nevertheless, in the New Testament, it teaches that we are to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. There is special grace for those who come to God's house to worship him with other people. Now, there's nothing sanctified or sacred about a house, about a building. But it's the gathering together of the church, it is the gathering together of God's people that is sacred. And when we share our common faith in worshipping God together, then that strengthens our faith. There is grace for us in that. So yes, it is important to get out to church. I would encourage you, if you're a Christian today, to go to a gospel preaching church. Go to a church that preaches clearly the word of God, and you pray that God will speak to you as you enter his house. Now in this Psalm 92, the psalmist begins by talking about giving thanks unto the Lord. He says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. We should cultivate the practice of praising God. And whenever we worship God, we do praise him, we do thank him. That's why we sing. And yet for some, the singing is just a ritual, it's just a formality. The words are hardly thought about, but we should think about the words that we use, and we should take time to thank God, whether it is on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday. We should take time to thank God. If you thank God this morning, we are told here it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And that tells me something very important. It is a bad thing to withhold our gratitude from God. The Lord Jesus Christ healed 10 lepers. Only one returned to say thank you. And that was a terrible indictment on the other 9. And the Lord expressed his sorrow at their ungratefulness with the question, where are the 9? Where are the 9? Are you included in the 9 lepers today? Have you neglected to thank God? And we should take time to thank him. What should we thank him for? Well, there are many things we can thank God for. The very fact that we are alive at all. That we have health. That we have a mind that works. That we have lungs that breathe and a heart that beats and a tongue that can speak. There are many things that we can be grateful for. For family. For business, perhaps. For whatever income we have. There are many things we can be grateful for. And no matter how low we are in life, there are always people worse off than ourselves. People who are sicker than ourselves. And we should always remember that. We have many things to be grateful for. But ultimately, we should follow David's pattern as he thanked God for what God had done for him. And what was David showing gratitude for? In the verse 2 he says, "To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." He was thanking God for two things, his love and his faithfulness. And here we have the gospel. We are told concerning God, God is love. God is love. God expresses his love to sinful man. He expresses his love in Christ. He sent his Son into the world to die for us. Because God loved us so much. He sent his Son to be hung on that cross. God shows forth his loving kindness in the morning. Every morning we awake, we know that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. If God did not love us, we would be lost forever. In darkness, God loves sinful men. And that's a beautiful thing. God loves you. Have you given your heart to the Lord? Have you trusted him as your Savior? David didn't just praise God because of his love. He also praised God because of his faithfulness. God is faithful. He's faithful to his word. God will never break his word. And God says, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you trust the Lord Jesus Christ today, you will be saved. Not because I say so, but because the Bible says so. I remember many years ago, talking to an elderly gentleman who had heard the gospel for a lifetime. I opened the word of God. He wanted to trust the Lord. He prayed that God would save him. And then he looked at me and he said, "I don't feel any different." I said, "Let's open the Bible. What does it say?" "You read the words. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's not me saying that. That's God saying that. Because God tell lies. No, he said God doesn't tell lies. Well, if God doesn't tell lies, and if God keeps his word, and if you have asked the Lord to save you, what has happened to you? He smiled and he said, "I'm saved." And suddenly reality dawned. It wasn't his feelings that convinced him that he was a Christian. It was the word of God. God is faithful. God is love and God is faithfulness. Have you trusted the faithful God today? Have you looked to him? It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. The greatest thing to thank God for is that he sent his Son to die for us. But have you trusted Christ? Have you sought him for mercy? Have you asked him for forgiveness? Where is your relationship with God today? I pray that you will turn to him and find new life in him. I thank you so much for listening.